I'm debating on whether to pull that stool over here and sit down like I do on Wednesday nights. I preach longer when I'm sitting. Maybe I'll get it in a minute. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. Paul writes and says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy." Father, we just thank you today for your word. And as we study the scriptures now, as always, we ask that the Holy Spirit would open the eyes of our understanding and help us to know the truth. Lord Jesus, you promised yourself, if we would continue in your word, we would know the truth, and the truth would set us free. And so we trust that the Spirit of truth will teach us truth today that will make us free in you. We thank you for it in your name. Amen. Amen. We've been talking for a number of weeks now, actually, about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We started talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit and what that means, and trying to see a picture from the Word of God of what it looks like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to bring this whole series to a conclusion today and wrap this up by looking at this last list of gifts that we read about here in verses 6, 7, and 8 that are given to us by the Lord to motivate us or to drive us to service for the Lord. These gifts are called, in fact, sometimes they're called motive gifts or service gifts or that kind of thing. And so we want to look at these gifts today. And when we do, as we look at them, I'm going to ask you to just take a look at yourself, because I believe you'll see yourself in at least one, if not two or three, of these gifts, six or seven of them that are mentioned here, and you'll see some things about how God wants to use you as a child of the Lord. But you know, I just feel impressed before we even get into the Bible study today. I feel impressed to remind you of something. It's very simple. I just feel impressed to remind you this morning that God loves you. That God loves you. You know, it's easy for us to forget that, isn't it? It's a simple truth, and we all know it. And yet it's very easy for us to forget about that, especially when we go through tough times in life, and the circumstances of life are hard on us, and things go badly for us, and all of these kinds of things. And sometimes we feel like God has forgotten about us, don't we? We wonder where God is and what he's up to and why he isn't taking care of us the way that we feel like he ought to. And yet, you know, the Christmas story, as we've already talked about it a little bit here this morning, the Christmas story itself is a message of love to us, isn't it? Jim quoted the scripture for you from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." I just want to encourage you to realize that whether you see God working in your life in these moments, in these days or not, God is working on your behalf. He loves you. He's at work for you. He's ordering tomorrow, the next day, the things that you need in the future, and all of these kinds of things for your life. I know the timing of the Lord is virtually impossible to understand, but God is always faithful. And I just want to encourage you in that today, to know that whether you feel the presence of the Lord, see the hand of God, know that God cares about you and what you're going through today. He's on your side, and he's working things out for you. Just keep trusting. Keep seeking, keep trusting the Lord, And God's going to work it out in his time for you. The Old Testament calls him Jehovah Jireh, the God who... It's interesting, we translate that, the God who provides. Do you know, it literally means the God who sees. The God who sees. And the point is this, that God never sees without providing. See? God is seeing our lives, and he's working to provide for all that we need for tomorrow and the next day and for every day in our life. He sees and he provides. So I just encourage you to keep trusting in the Lord. And remember, listen, Christmas is the proof. Christmas, the message of Christmas shouts this to us. I haven't forgotten about you. I remember you. I know where you are. I know what you're going through. I know what you need. And I'm sending my very best to take care of that need for you. Christmas is the message of love for us. It's a reminder to us that God still loves us. The gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, I heard a preacher one time, as we're talking about the Holy Spirit, I heard a preacher say that the Holy Spirit is like a divine engagement ring. Think about that for just a minute. You know, guys, when you proposed to your wife, you gave her an engagement ring, which was a promise and a pledge to her from you that you wanted to be one with her and you wanted to spend the rest of your life with her. And that's what that ring is about. It's a pledge. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 1 and 13 that God has given us the Holy Spirit as a pledge. He invites us to come to Jesus, to know him as Lord and Savior. That's the proposal. He invites us to come to Jesus. That's the proposal. And when we say yes, then he gives us that engagement ring, the Holy Spirit, the sign of his love, his declaration of his desire to take care of us for the rest of our lives and be with him forever. So the Holy Spirit is that to us. It's a sign of God's love. It's a gift of God's love for us. He is God's ultimate promise to us. And by him we have new life. We have abundant life. We have a new nature, the Bible says, because of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. And in that new nature, we have power over the sins of the flesh that would destroy us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says that we've become partakers of a new nature that we might overcome the lusts of the flesh and live as victorious and conquering people, purity of spirit of the living God. By the presence of the Holy Spirit in us, we have, and I'll list you several things that we've talked about over all these weeks. We have the love of God that heals our wounded heart and makes us whole and makes us complete again. We have hope by the Holy Spirit. The ability to have a positive expectation for the future because of his presence with us. We have peace and joy. All is well because the Spirit of the Lord is with us and lives with us. And the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. And the presence of God brings us the joy. Psalms tells us in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. We have faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. When he speaks to us, faith comes to believe God for all the promises that God has for our life. We have strength by the Holy Spirit, strength to face those tough times. We haven't read the scripture in a long time. 4:4 it says this, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. That's the Holy Spirit of God. That's why Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And why he says in Ephesians 3:20 that we're able to do he's able to do exceeding abundantly, far beyond anything we could ask or think, by his Spirit who dwells within us. We have strength for everything, every test, and every trial. We have a foretaste in the Holy Spirit. We have a foretaste of heaven and all that God has in store for us in eternity future. We have the wisdom of the Lord to know the mind and will of God. He shows us Jesus, who is who he is and what he's done and who we are because of who we are, our relationship with Jesus. You know, I think that one of the most forsaken messages in the church today is the message of who we are in Christ. We preach a message about salvation and coming to know Jesus, and heaven is your eternal home once you make Jesus Lord and these things, and all that's good and all that's right. But listen, when Jesus comes into our heart, we become a new person, a brand new life. Think about it in the natural. If a prince can marry a young girl who is a pauper, who has absolutely nothing, who is living in abject poverty, but the very moment she becomes the wife of that prince, everything about her life changes. The way she lives, where she lives, what she wears, what she eats, who she fellowships with, everything about her life completely changes. What she has, it all changes the moment she becomes married to the prince. And spiritually speaking, when we come into union with Jesus, our lives become brand new. That's why the Bible says, listen, that girl who marries the prince, she becomes a princess. And she becomes essentially equal to the prince. That's why the Bible says that we become joint heirs with Christ when we come into union with him. And God has so much for us and wants to bless us in so many ways with true happiness and peace and joy and the power of God in our lives. So much that he wants to do when we come into union with him. We've seen in recent weeks how the Holy Spirit, whose end game, by the way, is to glorify Jesus in everything, how the Holy Spirit wants to glorify Jesus through you and me, through every one of us. We've said it several times before, and it just keeps coming back. Christianity, church, is not supposed to be a spectator event. Every one of us as believers have a part to play in what God wants to do in establishing his kingdom in the earth. I have a part, mine might be different than yours, but you have a part that's different from mine. But we all have a part to play. It's why he gives us all the Holy Spirit. It's why we all have that anointing to do the work of the Lord. And he's given us just such an anointing that we can do the work of the Lord, be it natural or supernatural. Whatever the need calls for, whatever God determines the need requires, through gifts of the Holy Spirit, we have discernment and insight. We have wisdom and revelation. We have the ability to speak a word of encouragement, to bless and build up one another in the body of Christ. Even power to do miracles and see healings. These things, guys, are not just for a select few in the body of Christ. They're for whosoever will listen to the Holy Spirit. God can use every one of us to do miracles if we can just believe. The responsibility falls on us to believe in who this Jesus is, who this Holy Spirit is that lives within us. This is the God of the universe, church. This is the Creator who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And that God, that Spirit of God, dwells within us to declare the light of the world to everyone, you see. God has given us so many to do work for the kingdom of God. Now this morning, this last list of gifts here, and we're going to, again, wrap up this study on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to look closely at these gifts that are mentioned for us in verses 6, 7, and 8. Just a couple of things before we get to the gifts specifically by general way of introduction. These again are ways that the Holy Spirit moves upon us and uses us and motivates us, different characteristics that he puts within each of us. And he makes a point that's important here for us to see. He makes the point in these verses of Scripture, first of all, that every single gift is needed. That no gift is inferior to other gifts or superior to other gifts. Paul makes the same point in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says it this way. He says something like, the eye cannot say to the ear, "I have no need of you." He says every part of the body is necessary and has a place and has a purpose and has a role and is needed by the rest of the body. And so it is with these gifts that we're talking about here. Every gift is needed. And none is... Listen. And in these verses, Scripture is when we look at these, sometimes we look at, and whether it's the gifts of the Spirit or whether it's these gifts here or whatever the gifts might be we're talking about. We look at the gifts and we see other people who God uses in special ways. And sometimes we might look at how God uses us and we might think, well, that's just not very special. That's not very important. That's not very significant. And he says, no. He says, don't think that way, because every part of the body is necessary. So don't try to be like somebody else. Okay? Church, listen. God wants you to be the best you can be, led by His Spirit. Okay? And so we shouldn't be looking to try to copy somebody else. We certainly shouldn't be looking to compete with somebody else. We should just be faithful to who God has called us to be and be filled in the Spirit to accomplish what He called us to do. He also goes on to say this. He says, don't be arrogant about it. When God does use you, don't get proud about it. Be arrogant about it, and don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to, he says. But know that all are gifted, and God chooses who He's going to gift, in what way He's going to gift them. And He's going to give, listen, he makes this statement in verse 6. He says in verse 6 concerning, well, the first one is the gift of prophecy. He says, if this is the gift that you have been, watch this, if you have been graced with the gift of prophecy, prophesy according to your faith. Now, let me explain what that means to you, okay? Because that phrase, by the way, applies to all of these gifts. Do it according to the portion of your faith. This is one of the Bible, that particular portion that God. Well, it goes on to say back up in verse 3, God has allotted to each a measure of faith. We need to keep that in the context of what we're talking about here on these gifts. When Paul says God has allotted to each a measure of faith, he's not talking about saving faith there. He's talking about serving faith. And he's talking, then he goes on to list the specific gifts by which he has graced us and then given us operate in. Okay? Watch this. Make more sense as I go through and explain some of these gifts to you. Look at the first one. Verse 6. He says the first one is prophecy. He says, verse 6, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to faith. If God has gifted you to prophesy, and to prophesy means in the broadest sense, it means to speak the word of the Lord. Whether some people think it's just preaching, that can be certainly a part of it. Or it can be speaking a word of encouragement, a word of edification, a word of wisdom. It can be predictive of the future. Whatever it is, whatever God gives you to speak, speak it according to your faith. What does that mean? It means don't try to create yourself beyond what God has given you. Stay within the of your faith. In other words, do it in faith. Do it as God leads you. Example. God might give David a word one Sunday morning. Okay? And so David shares that word. And everybody's blessed because of the word of the Lord that comes forth. All right? Next Sunday, God speaks to David again. David has another word for the church, and he shares that word, and everybody's blessed because of it. Next Sunday rolls around, and David may think, you know, I've shared a word the last couple of weeks. I probably ought to be ready to share a word this week. Well, wait a minute, David. Don't share a word unless God gives you a word. Here's the point. When God uses us in certain ways, sometimes we feel pressure to produce something out of our own flesh. And it's not something God has given. Therefore, it's not according to our faith. We've gone beyond our faith. Okay? Or David may think, and this is not David, so I'll use him as an example, okay? David may have a word two or three Sundays in a row, and David may come to church the next Sunday, and I speak the word of the Lord in this church. And so when the time comes, David gives another word. And it's not the Lord at all, but it's David. Listen, David is proud of David because David speaks out in church. Oh, that's flesh too, see. He's gone beyond his faith. He's gone beyond God. And the point is that we need to stay within our faith and how God is speaking to us. If God speaks to us to do something, do it. Speak to us, don't do it. I had a gentleman come see me this past week. And he needed some counsel. He needed the wisdom of the Lord. And he came to speak to me. But he came to speak to me. And I sensed in my heart, just in my spirit, almost a pressure to produce wisdom and counsel. This person came to me for counseling. I got to tell him something. You know what? As we sat and talked, I never heard from God. And I thought, what am I going to say? What am I going to tell this person? And the more this person talked to me about their situation, the more they talked, the more that person realized on their own what they needed to do. And God gave that person wisdom, and I never said a word. See? Now, I could have yielded to pressure and felt like, dude, you got to say something. You are the pastor, you know. But instead, I chose for once in my life, and God took care of it himself. I chose not to go beyond faith. I didn't speak what wasn't given to me. We need to do that. Let me run on ahead here. So the first one is prophecy. Prophecy, prophesy according to the proportion of his faith. As God speaks, you speak. But if God doesn't speak, don't speak. Stay within the confines of your faith. The second one is service. Now watch, this is a good one. In service, in his serving, that, and again that phrase applies to all of these gifts, according to the proportion of his faith. Now, this gift of service, this gift of it's a gift of a person who just wants to do things for other people all the time, wanting to serve. And it can be any form of service, any form of ministry going on in the church here, working in the preparing breakfast, being an usher greeter, being a part of the maintenance team, just serving, just doing something for other people or whatever, serving kitchen, serving meals to shut-ins, all of these kind of things. It can actually be using whatever talent you have to serve other people. A heating and cooling guy can use a gift. You know, just whatever it is. A lot of times, doctors and dentists and people like that, they have ability, and many of them want to serve. And so they'll go on short-term missions trips, and they'll use their gifts in service to the Lord. We had a CPA many years ago. We had a CPA in our church. And how can I serve? What can I do to serve? I'm a CPA. No. Who needs a CPA? Well, truth is, a lot of people need a CPA. You know what he did? Tax time rolled around, and for a Saturday or two, he came to church, and anybody in the church who wanted help with their taxes could come to church on Saturday, and he would do their taxes for them. He just wanted to serve. He didn't know how, but he did a CPA and a good one. And so he used that gift, natural calling and talent to serve the body of Christ. Now, one thing about the gift of people who have this gift of service, they just have a heart to serve. They just always want to serve. Why? One of the bad things about this gift is people who have a gift of service don't know how to say no. They just want to serve. They just want to help. They just want to bless. And so they don't know how to say no. And then they get overloaded with stuff. And they get burnt out and stressed out. Why? Because they've gone beyond the proportion of their faith. You see? People with this often don't bother to ask God. Somebody says, I need some help. They say, I'm here. Well, you going to pray about it? Nope, I'm here to serve. And you just get burdened by that kind of You know, the desire, it's a good desire, but you can go too far. And that's why you need to do it within the context of your faith and where God has you. Stephanie goes on mission. I admire people who go on missions trips. It's not what I'm called to do. And I admire people. Anybody who has been on a short-term missions trip who hasn't come home wondering, should I be doing this full-time? Should I be on the mission field full-time? Most of them, they're so blessed when they go out and they serve that way and they see what God can do through them. They're so blessed by it that I ought to be in the mission field. I should just be a full-time mission. I should quit my job and go to the mission field. And you know, for some people, that's right. For some people, that's right. Mike Keyes comes to mind whenever I think about that. Mike Keyes bought a one-way ticket to the Philippines and went to the Philippines and didn't know a soul out there. And just went because God said to go. But God said to go to Mike. So what he was doing was in the proportion of his faith. If I were to drop everything and head to the mission field, I'd probably starve to death. Because I'm pretty by myself. And I would start because God hasn't called me to the mission field. See, so for me to do that is me going beyond my measure of faith. My measure of faith is right here. This 18-inch by 24-inch, this is my measure of faith right here. This is what God called me to do. See? And much else. But this is my measure. And we have to, I'm just saying, we have to be sure that what we're doing by the measure of faith that God has called us. You know, most of those people who do the short-term trips wind up just doing short-term trips all their life because that's where God has them. And you have to pray about that and be sure of what you're doing that. But you also have to learn how, listen, you have to learn how to say no sometimes. You have to learn how to say no. The next one, in verse 7 there, he who teaches in his teaching. This is really my motive. To teach the Bible. To teach the word of the Lord. The teacher is concerned with one thing. Did you learn anything? Did you learn anything? That's my motive in everything. If people come to me and problems and they've got hurts, bad things in their life, my first thought is, well, did you learn anything from that? You know? Because we can. We can learn something from everything. And my motive, what are we learning through the experiences that we're having in life? And so this is another one of the motive gifts for us here. Verse 8, or he who exhorts in his exhortation. To exhort means to encourage. Some people have and by the way, in most of these things, in a general sense, we're all called to do these things. All of them. We're all called to encourage one another, for example. Just like we're all called to be witnesses for Jesus, we're all called to be evangelists. Okay? We're all called to encourage one another, but God puts it into the heart of some people, they just have a passion to encourage people. I think about Barnabas in the Bible, in the book of Acts. Barnabas, his name actually means son of encouragement. And he just encouraged people all the time. He encouraged the apostles when Paul got saved. And Paul, if you remember, Paul of Tarsus was anti-Christian and persecuted the church and arrested Christians and voted for them to be put to death. And when he got saved, the Christians were scared to death of him. Paul got saved. Now he wants to fellowship with Christians. Christians don't want anything to do with him. Even the apostles didn't want anything to do with him. They knew of his reputation. They knew what the man was like. And Barnabas is the apostles, and he said, hey, guys, I'm hanging out with this Paul dude. He's a good word. I believe his message is sincere. I believe his transformation is real. And it was Barnabas that brought Paul and the other apostles together so that they could work and minister and serve the Lord together. It was Barnabas who went with Paul on his first missionary journey when they took Mark. Remember the story? Mark, this is Mark, who is the author of our gospel. Before he was an author, he was a coward. on his first missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas and Mark, they go through some very treacherous terrain and very dangerous areas and places where thugs and thieves were known to hang out, murderers and stuff. And Mark cut out. He said, this is more than I bargained for. This is more than I signed up for. And Mark went back home. Paul and Barnabas completed their journey. The season passed. They decided to go back and visit the places that they'd been before. Barnabas said, great, let's go. I'll go get Mark. Paul said, wait a minute, big fella. Goes anywhere. He quit on us. Anything to do with him. No, this man is a good man. He'll be a good servant. He'll be good to go with that thing. And Paul took Silas on the second journey, and Barnabas and but it was Barnabas who wanted to encourage them to get back together, be restored as the people. And ultimately they would be. Ultimately they would come back. The fourth gift here in he who gives with praise according to the measure of your faith. Now watch. He who gives with liberality. All of us are called to be givers. Every single one of us are called to be givers. But there are some people that God gifts with this gift and the passion to give. And if they don't use wisdom, they'll give everything they got away. They'll give it all away. I mean, I've known people like that. I've known people like that. If they didn't have somebody watching over to prevent away everything that they own, they're just giving it all away. Tithing is not a problem for these people. They'll just give it all away. Probably one of the best known people all of the world who had this gift of giving was a fourth century bishop who was born into a Christian home and a Christian family, and his parents were very, very wealthy, but they died when he was very, very young. And he had a fortune when they died, and he spent the rest of his life giving away the entire fortune. You probably heard of him. His name is St. Nicholas. And he inherited this fortune and spent his life giving it away. He gave to the poor. He gave to the sick. He gave to children. There are all kinds of legends about him in his life. One of the legends about St. Nicholas is that there was a man in just abject poverty. He had nothing to pay for a dowry for his married. And so each in her turn, St. Nicholas went to their house secretly at night and left a bag of gold so that there was a dowry to be paid when married. This is where we get the tradition, church, of St. Nicholas. And so he's got this gift. These people are the same. Hard time saying no. They say, I've got a gift. Saying no. They need the next gift to watch out for them. In verse 8, he who leads with diligence. Now your Bible may say, there's another word that just slipped my mind completely. I'm talking about the gift itself. Instead of leading, administer. Yeah. Some translations say he who administers. We're talking about an administrator here. Who organizes, okay? So they're done properly and they're done the way that they ought to be. This is the kind of person who delegate and see that things are done in a proper way. You know, a giver who has no wisdom needs a person like this. The last one, it says there is mercy. All to show mercy. But some people just have a passion for it. And they all seem to know what to say, what to do, help somebody who's hurting, or down and out. And they're always right there in order to lift up that person who is falling or hurt or wounded. Let me read one last scripture for some of the way that the Holy Spirit uniquely equips us to be ministers to each Lord Jesus Christ. The gifts that the Lord gives. Verse 10 and 11. He says, received a special gift. Each one has received a special gift. You've received a gift. It's up to you to find out what it is and to walk in it by the Spirit. But all of us have received gifts. As each one serving one another as good stewards of the grace of God. It says to do so as one who is speaking the utterance. Serves to do so as one who is serving by the Spirit, so that in all God is glorified through Jesus Christ and ever. Glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our lives are supposed to be all about Jesus. Glory and honor to Him. And that's what the Spirit is about. Allowing the Holy Spirit, pointing others to Jesus, bringing glory and honor to Him. The Holy Spirit equips all of us. He equips us all uniquely. The Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be involved in the work of the ministry. And He equips all of us for some purpose in some way to glorify God. I've shared with you a number of times before. I could not do what I do without the Holy Spirit. As a child, as a teenager, I was a complete introvert. I had nothing to say to anybody for any reason at any time. Maybe God was just saving it all for now. I could not do what I do week after week until the Holy Spirit changed my life. And I'm just saying, guys, we need to seek the Holy Spirit of God. We need to ask the Lord to fill us with the Spirit. We need to surrender. We sing the song. Listen, it's got to be more than a song. It's got to be a choice and a way of life. That we surrender to the Holy Spirit of God every moment of every day. Let Him have control. Let Him do what He wants to do. Let Him take us where He wants to take us to accomplish through us what only He can. The Holy Spirit can do more in a blink of an eye. He can do more in a blink of an eye with your life than you can do with the rest of your life. That's why we need to let the Holy Spirit be in control. Being surrendered to Him so that He is in control, so that in every way, naturally or supernaturally, Jesus is being revealed and through us as Lord. And so, Father, I once again for this congregation that, Lord, we would recognize our reason for being is to live for Jesus and glorify Him. I pray that we would recognize we can't do this on our own. I thank You that You haven't left us here to do it on our own, but You've given us Your precious Holy Spirit to accomplish all of Your purposes through us as Your people. And so, Father, once again, I pray that You would pour out Your Holy Spirit on every one of us as Your children, that the anointing of the Spirit of God would come, that we would pursue You, that we would desire earnestly the spiritual gifts, we would seek them, and we would allow these spiritual gifts to be manifest in us for the glory of Jesus Christ. To be used as you choose to use us. Lord, your word says that a good soldier doesn't get ensnared and entangled in the things of day-to-day life, that he might be a faithful soldier. As soldiers of Christ, help us, Father, not to become entangled in the day-to-day affairs of life, so that we are robbed of opportunities to live and bring glory and honor to you. I want to close our service this morning with just a few moments of prayer together with you about people in our church family. And I want to encourage you, if you know of situations that need prayer, even as I'm praying, if you would talk to the Father about those things yourself. Otherwise, you can simply agree with me about the issues that I bring before the Lord this morning. But I'm just impressed to pray for the people of our church family today who are not well and who need the strength and grace of the Lord. And so, Father, we pray today for those who are ill, battling sickness and disease. I pray for Michelle Marie today, Lord. Father, you would raise her up strong and whole, that you would heal her of the virus that's invaded her body. We take authority over that in the name of Jesus. I pray for Linda Kaplinger today, Father, that you would bring healing to her of this sinus condition and infection that she is now battling. Heal Linda Kaplinger, Father, for your glory. I pray it in Jesus' name. Lord, we continue to thank you and praise you for the wonderful work you're doing in Luke Metz. We thank you for the healing that is surely coming, complete wholeness and soundness of body to Luke. Thank you, Jesus, for healing Luke and making him well. We pray as he continues these radiation treatments, Lord, that he would suffer no side effects or consequences whatsoever. Thank you, Jesus, for making him well. We continue to pray for strength for Betty Gallier. And strength for the Gallier family as they walk this path with Betty. We continue to ask for healing. We pray for a miracle for Betty. We pray for Ann Metz and pray for my mom that you'd bring strength to their bodies, wholeness and soundness. You would raise them up. We pray for our sister Sybil today, Lord, going through the holidays without Judd for the first time in many, many, many years. We pray for the comfort of the Holy Spirit for Sybil. I pray for Chris Hansen, Lord, and the passing of her father-in-law. I pray for that family, that God, they would draw near to you in this season, and you would touch them and strengthen them and raise them up. I pray for Diana Unerick and ask healing for her body. We give you praise in advance for it. And certainly, Father, there are other because of illness, and we ask for grace in their homes and in their families as well. Thank you, Jesus, for being there with them today and bringing them through this trial in their life, victorious for your glory. Thank you, God. Pray for Gallier and the Gallier children, that you continue to make them strong and well. We give you praise for the job that you've brought to David Gallier Jr. and Stuart Whitaker. Thank you for meeting these needs in their lives, Father. We praise you for that. We give you all of the glory for that, Father. All of the credit. Would you stand together with me and stay in an attitude of prayer for a moment or two? We remind you that next Sunday is Christmas Sunday. We encourage you to invite somebody to come to church with you next week. We'll talk about what Christmas is really all about and why Jesus came. Also want to remind you of our special service this Wednesday night and the Christmas Eve service the next week. We hope you can join us in all of those things. Bring your family and be a part of it with us. We're going to have a good time worshiping the Lord together. If there are personal needs in your life, we can pray with you personally about anything. We want you to stay around. We never want you to leave church on Sunday morning feeling like you didn't get what you came for. And if there's something personal that you need us to pray with you about, we want you to do that. Just stay around and let us pray for you today before you go. All right? Let's sing.
In your presence, there is peace. In your presence. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day till your likeness may be seen in me.
Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being with us today. Have a great day. Merry Christmas.